Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Virginia Stevens worked with autistic children in the middle school setting in Loudoun County Public Schools in Leesburg, Virginia. Mrs. Stevens has a master's degree in special education, K through 12, from West Virginia University. She's taught children in West Virginia and Virginia with special needs in the fields of specific learning disabilities, emotional disabilities, and autism for nearly 25 years. Her current special interest is in the field of autism spectrum disorder. She recently completed an autism certificate from George Mason University. She's also an active member of the Council for Exceptional Children. Now, she's the author of Introducing Middle School Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs, and she's back with us on This Week in America. Friendly to you, highly informative. The book is a definitive guide for parents with special needs students to aid in the transition from elementary to middle school life, with great tips on fitting in socially and gaining better organizational skills to adjust to the demanding new workload. Parents and kids alike will be comforted by the accessible text and positive tone of this extraordinary guide. Virginia Stevens, author of Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs, back with us on This Week in America. Virginia, welcome back to the program. It's so great to have you with us once again.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It is such an important book, and it's interesting how this book came about. As I understand, what you had the help of parents and students in putting together the book. Talk about the process of putting this together, because these are people, parents and students, who've actually have lived through this experience.
Yes. How this book even came about. I have an autism cohort. It's basically a master's degree in autism from George Mason University. And we had to do a final project. And I decided at the time I was teaching autism. And I thought I'd have parents come back to school night. And I think especially my sixth grade parents that were just starting, they were all walks of life, from satellite engineers to a rocket scientist, really was not NASA. I wasn't sure if I should curtsy to him, but anyway, the room full of very educated people, and they were passing a Kleenex box around, and they were telling their stories of what they had been through in elementary school, all from, you know, being diagnosed, eligibility, and they were absolutely wondering what would happen when they reached middle school, because you hear all kinds of crazy stories about middle school. I finally did retire this year, but that would be actually 31 years of teaching. A lot of seventh graders is what I ended up with. But, you know, whether they're sixth graders, seventh graders, or eighth graders with autism spectrum, I particularly had Asperger's. Parents are the most involved parents I know. They are always wanting to help their child fit in with their peers, society, and that they lead happy, productive life as adults.
Talk about the book is Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Talk about this transition into middle school. In reading the book, there's such excitement. This is such a milestone for the student and the family, and trepidation as well. Talk about this transition, because it really is a special time in the life of the student and the parent.
It is the largest growth period that a student will have, the ages 11, 12 to 13, 14. It's not only physical changes, emotional changes, you know, craziness of puberty. It's all these things. And really going from the elementary setting, like where maybe you change classes with maybe a couple teachers in fifth grade, to where you're having, you know, you have eight blocks. And in our school system, we had A days, you'd have four classes. B days, you would have four classes. And you'd have a homeroom. And then, you know, the whole day, you would be going out to different teachers. This is quite a change from elementary school. And the biggest thing is parents, you know, would come in to see me, you know, look at the schedules, what to do. I talked to my children about it, and the kids told me how they felt. I don't know whether, it doesn't matter if they have, you know, an autism spectrum disorder or they're a regular education student. There is trepidation the first several weeks of middle school. You know, they're terrified. Oh, I wonder if I don't get to my class on time. You know, where the heck is the class? And, oh, am I dressed right? Oh, I can't get my locker open. And these are all the things I talk about in the beginning about it. You know, these are knowledge. Some kids tell me, oh, my God, I thought I was going to put in a locker. I have not known anyone in 31 years that ever got stuffed in a locker.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, you say that's like the number one fear is a bully coming along and stuffing someone in the locker. So that's a common fear, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's silly. But, you know, that's what they say. Oh, I'm scared this is going to happen to me. Somebody's going to get a hold of me. I said, no. I said, first of all, I said, we have people in the locker area. Nobody's stuffing you into a locker. And I said, you really take a close look at this locker, I said, you would have to be a gnome. I said, you are not going to fit in the locker. And then, you know, some kids, you know, opening combinations, doing the, you know, what, yes, right, left, right, you know, going around zero and practicing that. Some children, you know, would bring, they had practiced in the summer. Some of them knew to practice with that. And then when we found out it was just too stressful, we just got them a lock to put on their locker and a key. So, you know, they're worried about, am I going to get my locker open? You know, I still have kids, even in seventh grade, they still want, oh, my God, I brought my B-Day folder, and I meant to bring it for my A-Day. And it's teaching them to keep calm about this. You know, this too shall pass. You'll be all right. You know, and staying calm, the calmer you can stay, you know, you're going to make it through your day. It's all right. You know, we make mistakes. We're human.
It's all in the book, and the book is so well written, and you tackle all of these issues like that. It really, the book is Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. The author, our guest, Virginia Stevens, Masters in Education. The book is available at bookworld.com in the bookstore. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You start off by talking, and we've touched on some of these, easing student fears about middle school. And it's things that maybe you would sort of take for granted that's a concern for parents as well as the students. Being late for class is something else that's at the top of the list, isn't it? You mentioned before that you go from maybe changing occasionally classes to doing it on an ongoing basis. And that can really be a scary situation, especially in the early stages as you're just getting back to school.
Oh, yeah, and it doesn't matter whether it's sixth grade. It can be sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. By the time you hit eighth grade, you know, you're preparing for high school. And there you have more. The classes definitely have gotten harder. There are more expectations on the student. And the whole thing is trying to stay calm, you know. If you have a question in class, please, you know, you don't be afraid to ask and raise your hand, but doing it the proper way, not yelling out in the middle of the thing, you know, the class, you know, teaching them that. And, you know, the biggest thing kids also worry about fitting in, you know, am I wearing the right clothes? You know, middle school, it's a great time, but, you know, sometimes there is meanness and, you know, kids worry about, is somebody going to make fun of my shoes? Are they going to make fun of the outfit? If it's not Abercrombie and Finch, you know, am I a total failure? Kids worry about stuff like that. And then on top of it, they're worrying about their academic. And then I've had children that would come up to me and say, Mrs. Stevens, I don't know what to say. Did not know how to make small talk. We know as adults, there are adults that cannot make small talk. And I sort of put a little section in here. It seems kind of silly, but you actually could cut pieces of it out, put it in a, you know, your, you know, a lid to something, whatever you're bringing your lunch in, stick it in your notebook. It's just small talk. I had a little girl that was adorable. People would ask her how she was, and she'd just look at them. And finally, I taught her to say, fine, thank you, and then say back to them, and you? And that started it with her. She didn't know what to say. She didn't say fine or I'm okay or thank you. But she didn't know what, after they said that, she didn't know what to say next. And it's even simple things like that. And you, how are you? And are thinking what subjects to talk about. You know, talking about sports. It can be something you've seen on television. It can be all kind of music, anything. And learning to listen to somebody. And if they ask you a question, sometimes if you can't think of an answer, ask them the same question back. It's teaching things that you and I do normally.
Virginia Stevens, our guest on the program. The book is Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Book available at Book World, at Amazon. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you've got a whole chapter in the book devoted to what to say. You've got a you talk about a conversation board, which is really a great idea. Talk about how that works, because it's really helpful for the student.
I had a couple of students that over time, they just didn't talk, and I could tell they would talk to me privately. They would talk to me because I don't know, they were just comfortable with me. But I gave ideas like, there's little things you could cut out, you know, introductions, you know, how to say, you know, hey, how are you, greetings, responses, like the one I told you about, I'm fine, and you, topics in school. I have a whole list of about 11 of those. Responses like, that's cool, hey, wow, that's fat, you know, some of the things they say today, or, you know, tell me more, you know, different things that say, oh, that's great, or no way, you know, things that they use in the lingo they use today, you know, polite questions, not rude ones or ones that are over the top, just, you know, basic things, even like, you know, like, when do you have lunch? Or what table are you sitting at? You know, there's things people talk about. You know, kids get lost, like when they're even changing classes, even though they don't have that much time, it's 3 minutes. That still can be a long time when you're wanting to talk to somebody and you're walking down the hall by yourself. I have other topics here, sports, athletics, responses to that, and then just general questions, because mostly you carry on conversations by asking a question. And then it's that reciprocity. After the person asks, you know, answers the question, what do you say next? And a lot of kids get hung up with that. And so it's just like little things you could cut out, or, if, you know, somebody bought the book. My students even read the book when I wrote this. I had all them read it, too, because, you know, they liked it. And, you know, they were the people I interviewed. I not only interviewed special needs kids, I interviewed regular ed kids because I was in both worlds. And, you know, I just wanted to know what was on their minds when I wrote this. And so this whole section is about things you can say.
Yeah, I mentioned... Yeah, it's all laid out there. And I mentioned a whole chapter. I don't mean to imply this book is like 800 pages and it's going to take you six months to read the book. I think that section's like 4 pages. The nice thing with all of your topics, you get right to the subject. It's written so I can understand it, so a student could understand it as well. One of the chapters, it's really interesting here, and you devote several chapters actually to the topic of organization. And you talk about this really is one of the biggest keys to success. And sometimes we take organization for granted. Talk about some of the common mistakes and what we can do to get around those.
Well, I even start with, so, you know, simple things like organization at home. I said, you need to put your book bag, your backpack, whatever it is you're taking to school, when you're finished with your work, in the same place every night. And I said, when you don't, the bus is coming or somebody's coming to pick you up. I said, you panic because you don't know where you put things. I said, organization is not leaving your stuff all over your bed, under your bed, on the kitchen table, and then trying in a hurry in 5 minutes to go pick everything up and throw it in your backpack because you're going to leave something. And I try to even think of things to help my parents, you know, because they'd get emails and stuff from teachers, oh, so-and-so didn't have their assignment today. I said, one way you can do it, and I said, you can get whiteboards. And I said, put it up somewhere where I said, you know, it's non-conspicuous, but where the student works. And I said, he can look at his agenda. Everybody, at least in Loudoun County schools, had to write an agenda. Most of us, as accommodations on the IEP, had to sign, as a teacher, the student's agenda. Some kids were 504 plans. That means that they had ADHD, or attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity, or ADD, but they were not under special education auspices because their disability did not totally affect their grades and other things. Because that is a disability. It's called other health impairment, and you have to have certain markers to be there. But anyway, but sometimes I had to sign, I usually signed everybody's agenda in the room, so nobody knew who was who. It was none of their business. And so I'd say to them, okay, now you see that, this is Thursday's assignment. I said, you need to write on the board. If they say the next A day or B day you are having a test, I said, you need to write that on a calendar. Or if they have English papers, as they get older, sixth grade, there's some English writing. As they get older, there's more expectations. And it's in all subjects. Things are, you know, intercurricular. And just to write on a calendar board when things were due, see it in front of you. That helped some children organize that they turned things in on time. Or, you know, or the assignment got turned in at all. And I always said, you know, if it's something really important, put a sticky on it or something. And for some kids, it really worked to have A-day binders. And then, you know, on other days, have the B-day binder. It depends on the schedule. But trying to have A and B days, that's eight subjects. And, you know, well, seven anyway, minus PE, maybe some electives.
Right.
That is crammed up all in something. Doesn't work. Then I've had the parents, God bless them, they gave me an accordion folder that had 22 sections to it. I threw it up on a shelf. And I thought, nobody can do 22 sections. I can't. I mean, let's get real here. Let's make it simple, you know. And then the biggest thing is, after you do get their things organized, is training them. Please don't throw your reading in your math section. That isn't going to help you. And really training them to see you will stay calmer if you take a little bit of time, or you do it during study hall or in middle school. In my school district, it's resource. That you take the time to organize, put things in the right place. The whole idea, the less stress there is, the more you produce, you see a student, you know, abilities. But the stress wipes out everything.
As you can tell in listening to Virginia, everything is really well thought out and laid out in the book. The book is very simple to read. Much more we're going to talk about. In fact, we'll have Virginia back for another program because this is such an important topic. The book is so well written. It's a guide that's been embraced by both parents as well as students. It's called Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Virginia Stevens, Master's in Education, has been our guest on the program, the author. The book's available at bookwhirl.com in the bookstore. You'll find the book at Amazon as well. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly with Book Whirl and get information and be able to order the book. Virginia, a pleasure having you back on the program. So much more to talk about that. We will have you back on the program and continue our discussion. Thank you so much once again for being with us.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Once again, the book, Introducing Middle School, Transition Guide for Parents of Children with Special Needs. Our guest, Virginia Stevens, the author, she'll be back with us on a future broadcast of This Week in America. The book available at bookwhirl.com in the bookstore. Information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.